Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
105.3 FM, HD1. Kenner, New Orleans. Makes it two. And this is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show, which we talk about here every day, about the food of our town and where have you been dining lately, where would you like to go sooner, any of that. It's always up for us here, and we'd love to hear from you at 260-6368. 260-6368. Call right now, and you'll get right in. We'd love to hear from you about anything. We have, before we started the show today, had a few little odds and ends that I wanted to get into. One of them I don't feel is not quite going to fit in here, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's the matter of, I'll tell you what, let me just move that aside. And there was something that came up the other day. You remember the Beef Baron? This was a restaurant, used to be on Canal Street. And they had a policy there where you would make your reservation for your table, and you would sit down at the table, and you would
eat.
Order not just the food, but you would order which table you wanted to be at. And the reason for that is you could make your table very private. So you and your girlfriend or your boyfriend would be sitting there at the table, but there'd be a curtain in front of you. And there was also a light, a red light. And when booths, exactly. And if you wanted to sit at one of these booths, you would flip one of the switches, or it might be the other way around. I can't remember. But the these got to be very popular. It got to be very tough to get in one of those places to begin with. That's
Crescent City Steakhouse. Crescent has that.
The Crescent City Steakhouse.
That was handy over at last Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
And they had the Beef Baron, which was they're coming up twice in this show. Petra was mm-hmm. there before it became that Creole Grill, which is now I think it might be an Urgent Care, which is too bad because that was kind of a cute little place. And the Ruth's Chris has those at the downtown location, which is a very sexy space, I think.
You know, I've often said, and this always seems to come true, but when you have a sexy-sounding restaurant, is that what you just said?
No, I said the space.
Space.
The space. Ruth's Chris downtown
I remember
a
what it was.
Sexy place.
I remember reviewing with some people that whose names I'd have to look up in a book. But anyway, she was of the opinion, this was a former restaurant critic of the New Orleans.
Ruth Reichel?
Exactly. But there was another person before her, and she had the opinion that steakhouses are the most sexy restaurants of all.
Because, I agree. Totally agree.
And she added, there is something.
But they're
about,
very masculine, which is interesting.
That's exactly what he said. He said that, she said that what she kind of fell in love with was this masculine quality that just added a whole new layer of.
Well, you know, locally, sexy restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Dory's Metropolitan to me is the number one.
Oh,
to me.
Think?
To me, Dory's is number one in that department.
You have a lot of friends on that one.
The aforementioned Ruth's Chris has is also a sexy space. I think Justine is a sexy space.
You know, we've been the what got this whole thing started was when I was reading about that restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. I mean, I.
Well, they don't have the little booths, but they. I mean, they don't have the booths with the curtains, but they have booths, and I think it's a sexy space. I definitely do.
It's definitely.
And I'm trying to think of other places that I would say are. I mean, my favorite Del Porto is a sexy restaurant, in my opinion. And that's really kind of all, the only ones I can think of where I say I would love to be in this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a corner, whispering sweet nothings, not to you.
You know, I've heard this more than a couple of times. Tom, I would love to be sexy with you, but not for the reason you're thinking.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I didn't either.
I know it wasn't me that said it.
I couldn't figure it out either.
Yeah. Thank you, Doug, and thank you, Alan, for saving us. We're heading off in dangerous territory. Alan, is that what you said?
Alan or Helen?
No, Alan, I think.
Alan.
Welcome to the food show.
Waiter, thank you so much. Again, just to say, waiter turned teacher now in Seattle.
Hi.
Tables for several years, 25 years. So I can go down memory lane, actually, and I'm going to ask you, if you go that far back as well, Tom, for sure. Marianne, I don't even know if you were born back in 1977.
Thank you, Alan.
So
he's my new best friend. Go ahead.
Oh, well, you do sound very young. Not that Tom sounds old. And Tom, you know, your voice
Tom's
has
95.
Not changed.
Let me tell you how things used to be in the good old days.
You know, I'm one. Tom doesn't know. I'm one of his biggest fans for sure, and that's why I feel like I'm in diaspora. And he said he's like my savings rope, or I guess you could say. If it weren't,
do you
for
want
this
my
show,
sister to bring you back some food? My sister just arrived this morning from Seattle.
Oh, no kidding! Really?
Yes.
Well, it's a great place to visit. It really is.
She lives in Seattle. She's coming home for a few days. Yes.
I did not. I'll be darned. She lives in Seattle.
Yes, she does.
Well, okay. But your family's not originally from Seattle. Is that's correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
Okay.
My family's not from Seattle.
Well, she just happens to find herself up here like me for a victim of circumstances, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know what the circumstances. Her husband got a job at the zoo there, so that's why she's there.
Very good. Okay. Well, getting back to going back a bit, when I first started waiting tables, my first job was on Bourbon Street. I had no experience. I was about 20. And I don't know if it's okay to mention names. This is a ring of gentlemen who owned certain hotels in the French Quarter.
I know who you're talking about before you even tell me. Those guys are pretty good at what they do. Yeah, I know.
Okay. Can I say the name?
Why not?
Go ahead.
The Marcello family.
They, for a long time, they had quite a collection of restaurants in there. They had La Louisiane, which was a major old-line restaurant. And then there were some others that they were involved with, too. But they were all pros. And they've kind of been passed around to some other guys who were, I think they've pretty much gotten out of it, although I'm not positive.
Yeah,
I'm still thinking about him, thinking I went old enough to be born in 1977.
My first restaurant was Mamma Mia's.
Mamma Mia's, where is that?
I remember that one.
We were open 24 hours, and I did work the graveyard. They gave me the worst shift at the beginning, which really wasn't the worst shift, financially speaking, because I had all the service people come after they got off work and so forth. Yeah. And I know the Stones were in New Orleans. I remember when they performed at the Dome. I guess that was probably 78, maybe.
They were here just 2 days ago.
Right.
They were there one other time, too.
They partied at La Strada. About 2 o'clock in the morning, they popped in and they ordered we had a window that connected our restaurant to La Strada, so that folks in La Strada, and you know where I'm talking about, La Strada, it's on the corner. Mm-hmm. It's still there, I want to say.
No, it must have been before my time.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mamma Mia's is for sure. I don't even know if it's... after Mamma Mia's, I think it became Sam's something, two names. Sam... Oh, well, anyways, I don't want to lose focus here. Going back, the Stones came in, and they ordered, we had great pizza at the time, and some other Italian basic dishes. As I say, it was owned through the Marcellos, even though they did more than just Italian food. But, Tom, you mentioned La Louisiane. There was, I think, Broussard's might have been on that list for a while. Because
They were. Yeah, Broussard's was owned by the Carmellos for a long time. And,
okay, because
there were a couple more too. I mean, if I remember correctly.
Well, the Monteleone Hotel for sure was under their belt, but you know, a fine gentleman. He taught me a lot at Broussard's because I kind of bounced around after Mamma Mia's. They put me in a couple. You know, I worked my way up to some nicer places. But I worked for Joe Segretta.
What an interesting guy.
Yes, and you know, he was the manager. And again, Marianne, you know, you're not going to know Louis
before
Prima.
My time. I already know. Go
before
ahead.
Your time, but he was a manager of Louis Prima's manager, I should say, back when Louis, he did Vegas, and then he did the famous store when he was in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Just like Pete Fountain, you know, back when he was famous, he had a club. I think it was on Bourbon Street. Al Hirt had a club on Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Joe Segretta taught me a lot of. He taught me how to do flaming desserts and carvings. Oh, and also to toss a Caesar salad at the table, which that would fall into the hands every other. In other words, if you were good at it, one night you would just do Caesar salads table side, and then the other waiters, of course, would tip that guy. But anyway,
that was in the good old days when if you tipped somebody for what you were just talking about there.
Tossing Caesar salad.
Tossing. Was the hip way of doing it? There was a time when a Caesar salad was fairly expensive. It was done with very great care, and they made a real fuss over it, and they would do it right there at the table, and they put it on on the table next to it. Well, you don't see that at all anymore. None of the table side doing it. None of the not even getting in there with forks and but it's we've come back from it. Now a Caesar salad is just nothing. It's just the standard.
Well,
you know.
There are good Caesar salads.
Well, they're good, but they're not what they used to be.
But for the most part, they are nothing.
Yeah, it's just.
But Tom is correct. It was a process. It was a, you know, first you could not put the egg until after you did the anchovy and combined that with the mustard. Then the egg, and then lemon juice to kind of cook the egg. So, in other words, there was a way to do it. There was an art to it.
Mm-hmm. You're making me hungry, really good Caesar with a lot of parmesan. Yeah.
You know, another place we did a table side was at Pateri's. I worked at
Tom
Pateri's. I did.
Tom Pateri, I run into Tom Pateri. Well, he would be the third or the fourth, I think. And I run into him at Keith Young's Steakhouse, and he and I almost always have a conversation for a couple of minutes, and I always ask him the same question, and I also get a nothing sort of answer, and that is, what in the world is this a lobster?
Fadobster.
Wait a minute. That's
Marianne!
Not right.
You know lobster cadopster. Wait a minute. You must be
some before my time. No, lobster cadopster is, I just hear about it as the legend that it is.
Nobody knows what it is, what's in it. I've tried.
I want to be clear. I've never been to T. Pateri's.
Well, you won't be anytime soon.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
How long have you lived in Seattle?
10 years. And it feels like I just moved here, to be honest with you. I haven't really yet connected to this place. Mm-hmm. I still, as I say, I listen to Scoot in the morning when I can. And even when I'm at work, when we take our breaks, I tune in to WWL. And
is your
that's why
wife
I have this
from
luxury
here?
Of calling you. No, we're married. She's from Seattle. I met her in New Orleans when she was getting a master's degree. But anyways.
I think you need to get her back here because you sound very homesick.
I go to therapy because of this. No, but seriously, that's what you need to be
in New Orleans to get a. Hey, we got to stop and take a break.
Okay.
Hang on.
Very good.
If you have anything worth
talking about.
Just
because I'm starting to feel very sorry for you, and I don't want to feel sorry
for
you.
No, we wouldn't want that.
No, go ahead, take your break. Can I hang on?
It's the food show. Sure, go right ahead. We will come back with more of it in just a moment after. First, if you will, this.
Alan is waiting to resume his reveries.
And Luke. But anyway,
let's not do poor Luke right now.
I know. Who is on hold?
Alan is still there talking about his. We're Alan. Analyzing Alan.
Reliving memories, good ones. But yeah.
Okay, you're not ever coming back.
No, never coming back.
Well, not to live, but that's why you shouldn't feel sorry. We still take off once or twice a year to, at least once for Jazz Fest and come down and uh-huh. you know, indulge and just soak it in for a few days, but. So changing the subject to another old place, and I'm going in this direction because also under the family, so to speak, there was a couple of guys that opened up a place on Royal Street, and I became a manager for them. One of them was Frank Sinatra's cousin, Joe Sinatra, who later on bought the Absinthe Bar and turned it into a daiquiri, frozen daiquiri bar. I don't know
That's
if you
different.
Recall that. There was there was some anger about that. Frozen daiquiris became popular.
What am I saying? He's actually been on the show before.
Joe Sinatra.
He's Frank Sinatra Jr. That's how he goes.
Oh, really?
I'm lost, but anyway, go ahead.
His partner was John Gambaluca. They opened up a seafood steamed seafood restaurant on Royal, uh-huh. And inspired, I guess, by Zisco's.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to ask
Zisco's
you.
Zisco's inspired a lot.
Well, mm-hmm. the steamed seafood idea didn't do well on Royal. We were open for maybe a couple of years there, but
the steamed seafood thing didn't do well anywhere.
Did not do well either there or
nowhere.
But it also hit the blocks
Visco's.
Total failure.
There. Yeah,
it deserved to be a terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Alan. Go ahead.
Well, I remember, for example, the soft shell crabs. To me, you've got to have a crunch to those. You've got to dip those in batter.
Of course, you do.
That's one. You know, you can eat not raw shrimp, but you can boil shrimp. You can boil, grill oysters. Eat them raw, but soft shells are not something you want to. So I remember they would steam them and put them on a platter, and I thought this is. Yeah. Just terrible. There's no way you can make it taste good. All the butter, lemon, whatever you dip
it
in.
Well, the texture was not right. I mean, it's just a mouthful of animal. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'll give somebody else a chance to get on your show. It's
I'm flattered that you're listening from Seattle.
Yeah,
it's easy enough to do, but if let me interrupt it for just a second.
Yeah.
If you have friends who live in Seattle or New York City or Canada or anywhere in the world, and you'd like to talk to them, but you don't want to have a long phone bill or anything, you don't have to do that. Just come over, listen to us, poke around a little bit. You'll see how easy it is to do this. You can get on the streaming sound. and you can hear the entire program, everything about it, every tiny bit of it, and you can it's
I'm
like
titillated
you're there.
Just listening to this.
It's you are it's like being there in Seattle.
Whatever. Okay, thank you, Alan.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I'll call again soon. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks. 260-6368 is the number. That is 260-MENU. Well, let's see. There was another place that when did Visco, before I get to that other place, though, when did Visco's end? And why do you think did the steam room sink Visco's?
Yeah, I think so.
You do. Okay.
No, nobody could get their head around it. It just was.
Why do you think they didn't just give it up and just turn the steamery into a more Visco's?
That's what they did.
But it was too late, or
too
what?
Too late, yeah.
They just took too much of a
That's
bath.
That's all they could
How
do.
How long was that steamery thing open? I remember it was
months,
a long time.
Just months, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Before it just it tanked everything. Visco's ended. That
yeah.
ended
the steamery.
Visco's. Yeah,
it's funny how one little mistake can really kind of finish you off.
Yep.
Uh-huh. It brings to mind a certain, I better keep my mouth
yes,
shut.
Yes, I think about that. 260-6368.
This Tommy Tucker guy.
Is the number. Anyway, let's see. Another place that was in that magazine is Roger's.
Roger's.
Do you remember Roger? What was that? I never went there.
Roger's,
wasn't that New Orleans East also?
It was in New Orleans East, and it was in what was called, let's see,
was that another one of those French things?
No. It was just, they were developing real estate. And it wasn't a bad idea, you know, if everything had not gone the way it did on the North Shore
New Orleans East or
New
the West
Orleans
Bank?
New Orleans East. No, no, it's on the.
Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah.
Roger's, the restaurant?
Yeah, Roger's. And I forget.
I thought
who.
That was a French restaurant.
No, it was. Well, it kind of was, but not particularly. It was good, though. That was a very good place to eat.
Was
I know because the magazine that you're.
Yeah, New Orleans Magazine.
They were on the other side of the parking lot from our studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, our office.
I didn't know that New Orleans Magazine was out there.
We were.
Really?
And that was among
the. That was the time when you were out there?
I was out there.
Is that how you discovered Crochets?
Oh, here's how I discovered Crochets. I was walking through the parking lot. Or actually, I was driving past it, and they had a sign, a kind of a rough, almost done-by-hand sign on the front of the building, and it said, Girard's Cuisine Française. And I looked at that, and I drove past there fairly often, so it was just from out of the blue.
Well, was it Crochets at that time?
No, it was just, it was.
So it was Crozier's, Girard's Cuisine Française.
Française, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I pulled in and I said to myself, this is going to be a real laugh. You know, this little place in this dumpy little old shopping center there. And I walk in and I look at the menu and there is no doubt whatsoever this was a guy who knew what food was about, who knew what French cuisine was about. And I just went in there. I remember exactly what I had. I had a pâté. I had this chicken dish that was served with veal and a couple other items. And it was great. And I started eating there all the time. And that kept on going until the state governmental people came in and said, basically, it was about too many people driving in the neighborhood after having drunk too much in that area. That was a problem.
What, so they closed them down?
No. That's, the feds didn't do that. They decided that was the thing they needed to do.
Oh, I see. So that caused them to move.
So they moved, but they only moved a block. And then they set up a block away from their original place. And then that's when the feds came in and said, you know, we have to give some tickets out to some of these. So they started.
They had kind of a big place, as I recall.
Well, that was the third one.
Yeah. Now, we can knit what we started out with, a Bull's Corner, all the way to that last venue, because the Bull's Corner started right behind EJ, East Jefferson Hospital. All right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Right,
yeah. And of course, Bull's Corner left, and then Archie Siraj took it over with Bistro Orleans. And that's where Bistro Orleans started. Then Bistro Orleans left that venue and moved to what was Crozier's on West Esplanade.
You're kidding, really?
There it was.
That's the way that works, yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Archie Siraj has been around that long. I thought he just sort of like popped out of nowhere to the Bistro Orleans that was right there on West Esplanade.
It's kind of magical, that's true.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing, and they did it very well for a long time. But the business wasn't there.
Are we talking about Bull's Corner now or Crozier's?
No, Crozier's.
Bull's Corner was it's a very small place. That was the problem. I mean, you know, if you get ambitious in a small place, you're going to have to move.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of where was it behind East Jefferson Hospital. Where was
on Houma Boulevard?
Yeah, there was a whole lineup of medical.
Yes, I know where it is.
And the people would come in and eat sandwiches.
Was that where I had my 40th birthday party?
Yeah, yeah, that was it.
I
think
it?
So. Yeah, it could have been, but but it also could have been. Wait a minute, what's?
It was right there where the doctor's offices are now, on the corner.
So I tried to move to.
Yeah, it was Houma.
Very near Kewaunee and Houma Boulevard. Very near that corner, that particular corner.
Kewaunee.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about. All right.
This is very complicated, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I didn't realize those were intertwined like that. I had no idea. I'd never heard of Archie Siraj until just a few years ago. So, just goes to show you.
Archie, I haven't even thought of his name.
What would you say, Doug? Oh, Stephen is on the phone. Okay, let's take Stephen before we go for a little.
Why not?
Yes, Stephen. Hi.
Are you 40 years old?
No, no, that would make me too old, Doug.
That's the truth.
I mean, Stephen. No,
I'm
way too young.
Now.
I know.
Okay, I think the first Bull's Corner was beside Baptist Hospital.
Yeah, that's I'm sure of that.
Yeah, I think the one by East Jefferson was not the original. I think it was one of the ones that came out of the original.
Well, I think the original one, the guy that opened it's father was a doctor at Baptist.
Okay.
And he opened it next door so he would have all of his Baptist friends come over and eat in this restaurant.
I see.
And
did
I think
like
maybe
it,
that's
Stephen?
Why. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I thought it was good. Did you like it, Doug?
Yeah.
Doug?
Oh,
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
We've tired him out. It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. And
Stephen, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because we're hearing ourselves back in your phone. Anyway, I thought it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
But that was in my pre-Tom days when I didn't know anything about food. Now I'm an expert.
And she knew even less about Tom.
And still doesn't know anything about Tom.
No, I know way too much about Tom.
All of his stories.
It's Tom that doesn't know anything about me, anyway. So what else you got, Stephen?
Not much. Corn fritters.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a conversation for the last 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was more of like a pancake with flour and cornmeal, and also kernels of corn out of canned corn.
Hmm. That could be. I see that every now and then in the southern part of the country, as if we're not always that. But
it was more like a pancake than a hush puppy.
Yeah, there's a restaurant As a matter of fact, there are several of them around Abita Springs, and they make these pancakes that are as big as any regular pancake you ever got, but it was made out of cornmeal. And it was
pretty good. Hoe cake. Isn't that called a hoe cake?
A hoe cake, yeah, is one of the ways it's described, yeah.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah. I think it's good. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay. Thank you.
260-6368.
It's the food show.
We could.
And,
oh, my gosh. It's contagious. 260-6368. This is WWLFM 105.3 HD2.
And we will be back with more of the food show.
Hey,
hello,
Tom.
Hello. It's the food show. Hey.
Let me tell you about a really good restaurant in Metairie.
Really? I'd love to know about it. Tell me about it, please.
It's on Metairie Road.
On Metairie. No kidding.
Metairie Road. Porter and Luke.
Porter and Luke.
Porter
it has
and
a ring
Luke.
To it, doesn't it?
You'd like it because they have really good turtle soup.
They do have good turtle soup, and they have really good fried chicken from any cut that you like. You can tell them.
Well, it's a half chicken. They serve you a half fried chicken.
Well, you
so
can
you
say,
get three different pieces
bring
or
me,
four different pieces.
Bring me five of these and only two of these. No, you can't do that.
No, why don't you just say, I'd like some fried chicken, and they'll say that it's cooked to order, so it's going to take about 30 minutes. And then you have some crab dip as an appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have some hand-cut onion rings as an appetizer.
They do have that, yeah.
Or you could have some turtle soup as an appetizer.
Mm-hmm. And they have a fairly good amount of seafood here. And this is not just the same old stuff one time over and over and over again. It is the kind of...
redfish.
They bring in. They bring in all the fish that they know. Redfish and all the ones you just mentioned. Drumfish and all of those. But sometimes you'll get something offbeat. One that I like particularly is sheep's head. It sounds funny, but it's a great fish for eating. And they have all of that and plenty more.
They have the wedge salad, the three wedge salad with the crab meat ravigote. They have the shrimp remoulade on the second one. And on the third one, they have fried oysters. Don't miss that. That's good.
And it's a fairly long list of other things, too. Lots of Italian dishes. They have
meatballs
and
spaghetti.
All of that is piled up ready for you to enjoy, and I think you will. It's there at Porter and Luke. They're in the Metairie Shopping Center. Where also is the Ace Hardware is right there. They have a Walgreens.
No, I don't think so. They have, it's Canseco is there. I don't think there's an Ace Hardware. I don't think so.
Yeah.
There is?
Eight, yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, go look at it. Anyway, all of this is over there and waiting for you in...
Porter and Luke, 1517
and
Metairie Road.
1517 Metairie Road is it, exactly. And drop by and say hello and tell them that I said hello right back at them or something like that.
Little trip down memory lane here. These are really, really obscure. Well, not, I mean, Crozier's is not obscure. That was sad when they went away because they moved to...
Who did?
Crozier's, whatever you call it, Crozier.
Yeah.
They moved to that cool building on the corner of Bienville and Carrollton, which is now the Asian sushi place or something. But I thought that was a really nice space.
I'm trying to...
Chateaubriand, when they did
Chateaubriand. Oh, Chateaubriand. That was
How
so sad.
How long did Chateaubriand last?
Not very long, unfortunately. It was something that they started doing... after they had moved, let's do the whole rundown just for the sake of it. They started out with a funny little restaurant in New Orleans East. Then they got a slightly bigger such restaurant. And then they decided to get out of there and they moved to Metairie, which is where they should have been all that time because that was where their
people were. Yeah. Where was that in Metairie? Where were they?
On Metairie, it was, do you know where...
I must have gone to that one.
It has been a restaurant for a long time, but doggone it, the name of the place now is Bistro Orleans.
Oh, that was
That building is exactly where Crozier's was.
Oh, yes,
still
I do
there.
Remember that now. Okay.
So,
Okay.
Anyway.
So, wow, this is all intertwined, huh, Doug?
Then they went back and forth a couple of times because they reached a point where they said they didn't want to work in the cooking anymore.
Yeah.
And they left
it for
a while.
Well, that was after they were so shell-shocked from Chateaubriand. I mean,
well, that was
sooner. Why did they leave the Metairie location and move to New Orleans? That seems a misstep to me.
Oh, that's when the... that's when the special menus for the one.
Was he doing the salad dressing? Was that his salad dressing?
Yeah, that was.
Because I remember going to pick up bunches of his salad dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember our phase when we were. Yeah. Never mind, I'm not even going to say it. It was so stupid. Oh, gosh. Oh, man.
Well, anyway, to make a long story much, much longer, we had. When he was in the Chateaubriand, which was this big old renovated building that was a seed merchant.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Looks like that, and I love it. I think that's a great building.
But then in between was something really interesting. It was yet another restaurant, but they got hit by Katrina, and that was it. They were completely knocked out. And they said they couldn't go on. They didn't want to go on anymore. It's just too tough.
But I love that. I love that but location in Carrollton.
It was.
I thought it was a really good looking place. I thought it was great, and I miss it. It's one of those that I really do miss.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know what it was before it became the Chateaubriand?
No.
Would you believe it was a here it's one of those days.
Why do you do it?
No, I mean this
like
is
you
this
never
is,
quit when
this
you're
is,
ahead.
This is an easy one.
Wow.
This was a national chain.
Shoney's.
Shoney's.
It was Shoney's.
It was
yes,
Shoney's.
I do remember that.
Yeah. I told you I would think of it if I thought long enough.
Golly, talk about the sublime. I mean, talk about the ridiculous to the sublime.
Yeah.
Wow, Shoney's becoming. Now, was that when Shoney's was leaving the area?
Yeah.
So Shoney's kind of closed down.
Yeah.
Does anybody know the answer to this? Is Shoney's Bob's Big Boy?
No. It was the Bob's Big Boy thing was a logo
Sure about that, Tom?
Yeah, I'm.
Because I think Bob's Big Boy and Shoney's might be the same.
They have the same logo and everything.
Well,
but
I think some of them were called Shoney's and some of them were called Bob's Big Boy.
It was
the same thing.
It was a franchise that was sold in two different places and probably more than that.
So maybe it had different names regionally.
Yeah, that could be.
Because there's a place that, you know what, I'm eventually going to work my way into doing it. But there is a Bob's Big Boy still in Toluca Lake, California.
Mm-hmm.
And I pass it all the time when we're at Jude's. And I say to myself, I got to go in there because it's iconic.
But what isn't iconic these days?
That is true.
Everybody's making diet. How you like this piece of...
That is absolutely true.
This is
260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. We also started talking about leftovers.
An iconic phone number.
Iconic, yes. We were talking about leftovers. Now, right now on the counter because it's not going to make its way to the refrigerator, although I do need to separate it for the dog. But I have an interesting dish that we had last night at Dick and Jenny's.
Oh, yeah. What was it? I've got it right
I had duck confit reconfigured in the most unusual way. We went to Bordeaux. We were going to Bordeaux.
That's a new restaurant.
It's
now.
Dominique Maquet, yes. Mm-hmm. And Bordeaux had a private event last night, I guess for Tales of the Cocktails.
Probably.
And it was very disappointing because I'm really dying to go to dinner at Bordeaux. I've already been to lunch there. So we were in the neighborhood, and I had seen Dick and Jenny's on the way to Bordeaux, and I suggested Dick and Jenny's. So then we went to Dick and Jenny's. I have never been to Dick and Jenny's.
No? Oh, well, that was a poor choice of restaurant.
So then we went to Dick and Jenny's last night, and I knew that they had changed hands, but I didn't know. I knew who the old owner was, but I didn't know who the new owner was. And as it turns out, the new owner of Dick and Jenny's.
Merlin.
Yes, is Merlin.
And there's only one Merlin.
I know,
that
that's such an unusual name. When you hear it, you got to know it's the same person. But Merlin, who was most recently at Braza in Metairie, and before that was with his family at Latai, and he was in the kitchen here at Dick and Jenny's. So what? Oh, we do? Okay. All right. Well, let's just go to the callers. 260-6368.
No, well, let's
well, no, we're two, though. We should.
We'll finish up this this thing.
Yeah, we can do that when the callers are gone.
Okay. Fair enough.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Gregory.
Hello, guys. I didn't want to interrupt anything. You want me to call back later or something?
No.
No, go right ahead.
Believe me, you're not interrupting.
You've already
anything.
Interrupted.
I see that. I mean, the banter is addictive between you two. Hey, Marianne, once again, you're right. Bob Big Boy and Shoney's were the same corporation, but there was laws many years ago. All the western states, I think it's 10 or 11 of them,
okay.
On the west of the Rockies that were Bob's Big Boys.
Okay.
Everything else east of that were Shoney's.
Thank you.
Same
okay.
corporation. There was some kind of trust thing. And
yes.
It's just like McCormick Spices. In some parts of the country, they called it actually a different name. I know, it's
really?
Kind of weird.
Huh.
It's one of those little weird things that you do back.
Okay.
Because it was some kind of
good
trade
to know.
Limitation.
I thought I remembered that. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely true. So, y'all went to Dick and Jenny's?
We did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When? Yesterday?
Last night.
Oh, well, I haven't been there in a year or so. Still good?
Well, it seems that they have new owners, is the way I've read it.
I don't remember what it was like before, but I thought it was good last night.
I thought it was good, but, you know, you can change your
restaurant
without getting
banned. The menu's very limited.
Yep.
It's really
limited.
Right, it
always was.
Oh, I've never been, so I don't know. But it was, we had barbecue shrimp, which were really good, I thought. I didn't like the bread. They served it with bread that wasn't crunchy.
Good
or
in any way.
Yeah.
You know, they do something with a lot of restaurants do these days. They have these little thimble-sized pockets that they put the butter in, and they're not big enough to move pepper, the butter rather. And I don't know why they use it. They're terrible.
Okay. So then we had also on the table. Tom got oysters. Grilled oysters, which were done in a really unusual way. They were very unusual.
Oh,
we have four callers. Oh, okay. We can't really go through the menu. Yes, I recommend it. Go ahead and check it out.
Okay, I certainly will. And anyway, there was just one more thing. Oh, well, I forgot it anyway. I just wanted to call and say hello. I'll talk to you later.
Hi, Gregory. Bye. Thank you. Okay, let's go to John. Four
John,
callers with 6 minutes. Hi.
Welcome to the food show.
Hey, I was going to tell you, I traveled to Cincinnati and Detroit on work fairly often, and both have Big Boy operations to this day that are separately owned. I know the ones in Ohio are called Fritch's Big Boy. I forget the name of the ones in Michigan, but they're very similar but separate at the same time. So
yeah,
there are still pockets in the country that still have ongoing Big Boy operations.
Do you go there? Have you been there?
I walked into one in Cincinnati. It looked pretty bad, so I walked out.
Oh, well. All right, probably
I ended
not
up at,
for you.
Ended up at Skyline Chili, which is nothing special.
Whoa, Skyline Chili in Cincinnati, you said?
Yeah, that's right.
That's something you don't want to ever get in your life.
Yeah, it's nothing special.
It's you have. It's,
well, if you want special food, you have to be here.
This is in a class by itself. Just look it up someday, and you'll be appalled.
Oh, you know what? I think I ate that as a kid. Anyway, all right. Thank you for calling. Was that
Take
what you
care.
Called? Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Who else do we have?
Bye.
Okay. Hi.
Who?
Hello?
Billy, welcome to the food show. Step right up.
Hey.
Hi.
We're going to the Michael Bublé concert tonight.
Yeah.
And
my people that are bringing me were bringing me to Jack Rose Restaurant, and I wanted to know if you had any updates on that.
We are talking about an early creation of that restaurant, but
I love Jack Rose.
It's a restaurant that's worth going to, especially if you have a memory of that hotel and the Caribbean room, which used to be the main room in there. It was a classic, great old hotel place, but it has changed hands a few times.
You wouldn't recognize it at all. It looks like someone's weird psychedelic trip. Okay, it does. But the food is good.
Yeah, it's worth going to, and especially if you can get up on the roof of the building, which takes some doing.
Well, he's
going
to go to the concert after dinner, so I'm
sure he's not. Oh, yeah, probably not. But what a view they
have
from
up there. It's good. The food is good. You will like the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. My buddy was there, and he said he had the lamb chops or something that were excellent the other night.
Yeah, that'll work.
We had four different things on the table the last time we were there. There were four of us. We each got something different. I don't remember any specifics about it, except everyone liked what they had. So I think it's one of those things where it's good, and you probably can't go wrong.
Okay, well,
Thank you so much for that intel.
All
right. I appreciate it.
Have fun. Give us a report when you come back, okay?
And enjoy that period while you're waiting. I mean, you know, the
See
period.
See you at the concert. All right, who's next? We got one more. Time for one more. Hi.
Kurz? What did I say? Who's next?
Hers.
Well, welcome to our show, whoever you are.
Come
on in and say something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Herf, H-E-R-F.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi.
Yeah.
All right. Her is short for another name. Look, I can. I lived on General Pershing close to Magnolia Street, the first bull corner. Was right behind Baptist Hospital on Magnolia Street in the Medical Arts Building. And the guy that owned it was a doctor's name, and it was his son, and his name was Doug. Okay, yeah. Doug Depp. And it stayed on right off Napoleon Avenue for a good 5, 6, maybe 8 years before they moved.
Well, then I must have caught it right. That was probably right 30 years ago, because I know I used to go after I would go for a checkup before I had our son. So that was 1989. His birthday was yesterday, and he was 30. So I know that it was there 30 years ago.
This went back into the late 60s, early 70s. Doug had the restaurant there. And it was very popular with all the medical professionals in that area.
Yeah, did you like it?
And it was delicious.
Yeah, I thought so too. I did.
Yeah, the hamburgers were maybe number one.
Yeah.
I have another suggestion.
All right.
If you want more callers on your showtime, give out your telephone number more often.
Okay. People have been telling me that for years, but the way they tell it is, you can hardly hear it, or you can't. It's too loud. It's no matter what you do, you never quite get it. But thanks for caring.
I feel like I say that number in my sleep.
I waited almost 15 minutes to get on with you today, and I was waiting because I couldn't find the telephone number.
Well, there we are.
Okay, we'll do it.
We'll do it. 260-6368. 260-63. And here's one easy way to listen to it. It is just simply menu.
Yeah, 260-MENU.
Thank you for calling.
Call again.
I got
you. Write the number down. All right. Do we have another Porter and Luke, Doug, or are we done with Porter and Luke's?
We had any?
One more. Let's do it. Porter and Luke. Great handshake with beans. Great club sandwich. Good hamburger.
Yeah.
Delicious fried chicken. Open on Sunday for brunch. They have a hollowed out eggplant panade with seafood dressing.
Which is Italian and very good.
Seafood dressing and pasta with a cream sauce. Tell them about the turtle soup, Tom.
The turtle soup, it's very dark in color, but you would never notice that to eat it. It is one of the two or three best in the city.
Yes. Porter and Luke, you will find them on Metairie Road at 1517 Metairie Road. This is where you're going to find all kinds of delicious comfort food served by people who are comfortable themselves. They're very knowledgeable. They're very friendly. They'll take good care of you. Porter and Luke in that shopping center by Walgreens and Oakwood Heart. And as I just realized, I was told it is there's an Ace Hardware there. Now that you mention it, I think I park in front of it all the time. Everyone have a wonderful dinner. You are listening to WWL FM 105.3 HD2.
All of those things. Stay tuned. We have another hour of the food show.
No,
we don't have
replay
another
2 hours.
We only
good night.
Do two.
Have a good meal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.